This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to Songs with Friends, episode 24 on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me once again is Kelly. Kelly, how are you now?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, I'm good. I'm sitting here with my dog watching the 1998 Royal Rumble, Love and Life, as I do.
Uh-huh.
But also, we had to clean up the place a bit today, because for the first time in many months, we have a guest here in the Songs of Friends Beach House. He is the host of the PTBN e-ticket attraction, Jason Sherman. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. I've been wanting to be on the show since day one.
All right, Jason, do you mind letting us know why you're doing this from a hurricane?
Well, I figured it was fitting since I live in South Florida. I'm just trying to live the gimmick.
All right, man. Yeah. Jason is reporting to us from inside his running shower. We're going to check in with him, watch, keep an eye on that equipment. But as is tradition here on Songs with Friends, when we have a guest, the guest picks the songs. And first up, he picked from the 2000 album Playmate of the Year. This is Zebrahead with The Hell That Is My Life. Jason, why did you pick this song, man?
It's kind of apropos to a situation I certainly recently went through in my personal life. So, and it's a funny song. It's got some fun lyrics. I think the kids out there will enjoy.
The kids. If we're known for anything here on Songs of Friends, it is being big in the children community.
And absolutely.
That's not even a joke. That's a real thing.
That's not a joke. This is horrible. And I'll just go ahead and say it, because Steve's a better person than I am in a lot of ways. Like, my daughter's friends listen to our show. Some of them do. And like the other day, she's like, Mom, my whole class knows you have a podcast. They know how to find it. And like, they're seeing your logo. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get a call from the school. So they're into it. So one of her friends, Michaela, she is like big on fans. She listens to us when she's getting ready for school. So every day. That's probably horrible. But
I think that was great. Expand the listener base.
That's right. We're just
Philip. Moms. I warn their moms. They know me anyways. But I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I told them, and maybe I shouldn't have. They're like, I don't care. So, like, okay.
All right. We're just like the Philip Morris Corporation. We start them young, get them hooked.
That's the way you got to do it, man.
We have customers for life.
Yes.
So I'll start us off here with the lyrics. I look but never touch. She says I drink too much. I only care about myself, sex, and the couch. Jason, man, what do you got for us here?
Well, it's obviously about a troubled relationship with a lot of fighting, it seems.
Yeah, I look but never touch. We've had a theme here of love from afar on some of our shows. She says I drink too much. Like, is he drinking to the point where he is unable to touch? Is the
oh my gosh, Dave.
Is the equipment not working?
Oh my god.
I knew he was going to say that.
Or, in this next line, I only care about myself, sex, and the couch. Is he possibly having sex with the couch?
Oh my gosh.
Listen, if you drink too much, sometimes that can happen.
I mean, speak for yourself, player. I've never experienced the sweet, sweet love of microfiber.
Oh, shit.
That's because you need pleather, sir.
True, true. Kelly, any contribution to this part?
Well, no, and I was thinking he's sleeping on the couch, but now I'm just thinking, you know how some people just like to sit their asses on the couch, but
and drink.
And you know, like, I mean, I'm going to sound sexist. I feel like this is more a man thing. Like, I've never slept on the couch. If you're mad at me, you can take your ass to the couch. I'm not sleeping on the couch. So I don't get that.
Kelly,
that's just me.
Kelly with a power play here.
I'm not sleeping on a couch because someone's mad at me. You could go out there. That doesn't make sense.
Writes notes.
But
okay.
That's a man thing. That's what men do.
All right. That's accurate. I could attest to that.
All right. So then he continues with you. You light up my whole day whenever you're away.
Oh, my.
I love to say I've got you figured out. No way. Mr. Sherman?
I don't think these two people should be in a relationship with one another.
Confirmed.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be pleasant.
It starts out so nice. You light up my whole day. You're like, oh, and then it's like, no, never mind.
You gotta hit him with the swerve.
Yeah, this is like that old, like that Lit song from around the same time. Like, you make me come, you make me complete, you make me completely miserable.
Oh, that's the one with Pamela Anderson in the video, yes?
Yes, eating the members of Lit, swallowing them whole, so to speak.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
And not in the fun way. Kelly touched on it. Like, you light up my whole day, and then nope, only when you're gone. Like, these people should not be together at all. And I think maybe you touched on something here with him possibly sleeping on the couch. He wants to get away from this woman, so he's just gonna be on the couch with his case of beer and his TV guide, fucking Al Bundy, 1989 style.
Yes,
hand in the pants. Hands
in the pants.
Yes.
Says, talking about 4 touchdowns in one game.
If I get my hands on you, I would make you do all the things I want you to. All right, this is getting uncomfortable. Ooh. Now. And bend your will to mine. Never hear you whine. Everybody break out. It's enough to shout. It's enough to shout. It's enough. Yeah, it's enough.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I'm not liking the turn this song is taking. This is creeping into r/incels territory.
Yeah, Jason, what do you make of this part? What is
so listen, I would do almost anything to not hear the whining anymore.
Go ahead.
I don't know if I'd put my hands on another person for that to happen, but hey, listen, sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the beer isn't enough.
So. Well, at first it sounds very like sexual. If I get my hands on you, I'll make you, and it just like goes creepy.
See, again, with the swerve. They like to.
Yes. Yes.
It's like a Shyamalan Malahan movie.
Yeah, if I get my hands on you, that's what I'm thinking. All right, like it's time for loving. It's like I will make you do all the things. Like, hold up. This is getting a little too aggressive for old Stevie Boy's taste. But then this never hear you whine. Like it becomes more of a metaphorical. If I get my hands on you, I will bend your will. You know, I will make you see things the way I see them. Hopefully, is the route he's intending to go here. As opposed to, I'm going to choke the air out of you and not hear a damn thing you say anymore.
I'm pretty sure that's the route he's going.
I damn sure not going to hear you whine again.
All right. A quick little, quick behind the scenes peek here. I've since switched to another Royal Rumble on the award-winning WWE Network. And I'll be damned if as soon as this bend your will to mine part didn't hit, Chris Benoit comes out for the 2001 Rumble.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's, that is an omen, and I'm not liking it.
I can safely say this guy is not Chris Benoit any shape or form.
Well, that's refreshing. All right, so he says...
Yeah, I will say, Jason, I never heard of this band at all. Had you, Steve?
No, the sound is very much, very 2000, something that definitely would have been on the radio, and it possibly was.
Yeah,
but, the only song that was on the radio that was any sort of popular at all was Playmate of the Year.
Oh, okay, the album.
The title track.
All right, so moving on, she's calling, we're brawling. This is the hell that is my life. I'm laughing, she's crying. This is the hell that is my hell that is my life. So clearly, we are in a constant state of dispute and distress here. Hopefully it's hopefully it's not literal physical fist fighting. I do feel the need now, because this has come up enough in this episode, to put out the disclaimer. Here at Songs of Friends, we strongly condemn all domestic violence. We are not here for the bullshit, boys or girls. Don't hit each other. Love each other.
Yeah.
If you can't love each other, just part ways. There's no reason for a physical fight.
Yes.
Agree.
I'm laughing. She's crying. Like, he is. I can't tell if this is I'm laughing because, you know, what can you do but laugh when it's all falling apart? Or if he's finding joy in her pain at this point.
Oh my God.
This relationship is so fucked up. I can't call it.
I'm speaking from personal experience. I'm laughing because not the latter. Because she's crying. Because it's, you know, what else can you do?
Right, like,
you laugh to keep yourself from crying.
Yes, the situation is so fucked up. If I don't laugh, I'm going to lose it.
Oh my goodness. Well, I think everybody, haven't you ever been in a fight with someone and you really do start laughing? Like, this is so fucking ridiculous that you're bringing this shit up to me and you're just getting annoyed. Am I the only one?
That's almost every day of my life.
I typically won't engage once we hit that point. I'm like, all right, I'm just leaving because none of this is making sense. I'll be back when you're less crazy.
Yeah.
Or even
Steve's a more level-headed, like, mature adult about that kind of stuff, so.
Or maybe even I'll come back when I'm not so pissed I can't think straight.
Yeah.
I prefer to communicate from a place of love, if at all possible. I haven't always, obviously, been effective at that. trust me, there's been
times. Well, you're a smart man.
Well, there's been times, definitely, when I've lost it and, you know, embarrassed myself, but I try to keep it composure, because if you're out of control, you know, nothing's going to come out of that. It's not going to be a constructive conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like those crazy old people that are like, we stay up all night no matter what. And I'm like, I don't think that's constructive. Like, if you're going to stay up and fight, that doesn't serve a purpose. So I don't understand that. But there's a lot of people that are like that. Like, we're going to sit here till we figure this out and you can make it worse, I think. But
it could definitely make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a reason when a basketball team is down by 8 all of a sudden, they'll call a timeout. You know, you regroup, you stop the momentum, you try to figure out what's going wrong, and then you come back into the fight and try to get yourself back in the game.
Exactly.
Dang, Steve, that's good.
You know,
that's deep, man. That's real deep.
I'm regular ass Greg Popovich over here.
Marriage counselor Steve.
All right. So I feel the world revolves around me. I take my one-way street. I only have one serious bone in my body. I believe this is a line about cock.
I think that's a safe bet to make.
Oh my God.
I think it's safe to say he's a pretty selfish individual, but from the looks of it, they both seem to be pretty selfish.
Yeah.
And typically with someone this selfish, you don't see this kind of self-reflection. Like, he recognizes this in himself. Look, I know the world revolves around me. I do it my way or that's it. And yeah, if you want to fuck, I'm here. If not, you know, oh well. Take it or leave it.
Yeah, that is weird. Because a lot of times when people are selfish, they'd never own that, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
But he might just be being told all the time that he's selfish, so he's just like, fuck it, I'm selfish. But he maybe doesn't really feel that way. Because if you're told something enough by a partner, you're kind of like, fuck, maybe I am that way. But you probably aren't. They're just an asshole or whatever, you know?
And then, too, leading into this next part, it makes you wonder, he's almost saying this like in a mocking tone. Like, yeah, whatever you say, the world revolves around me, I'll take my one-way street, I don't care about my wiener, blah, 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 blah.
That could be, too.
I think that's it.
Because then we go into you say you're not amused. Like, he could be just in her face, like, yeah, right, motherfucker, I am what I am. Sure, I'll go with it. You say you're not amused, you love to hate me, too. You claim you wish you never got my name tattooed. What a turn.
Whoa. Jason, in line between love and hate.
Jason, do you have anyone's name tattooed on you?
That's a big negative, sir.
Good decision, my man. Good decision.
Do you have tattoos?
I don't.
Okay.
Oh, man, I was hoping you had like an anchor.
An anchor?
A battleship that said, like, mom on it or some shit.
Boats oh, and God. Hoes. Boats and
hoes. Boats and hoes.
No. I have been considering getting one recently, but it's not of an anchor or a battleship that says mom.
Well, if you choose...
Sorry to disappoint you, Steve.
If you choose to get that tattoo and do it yourself, you could get the tattoo gun on placetobenation.com/Amazon.
Cheap plug.
The kickback will go to the site to keep these plugs going.
Am I out of the loop on this?
Yeah, I've never introduced Kelly to that Amazon button. I've been slipping.
I buy shit off Amazon, like, a lot. More than I should probably admit.
All right. Well, off the air, I will give you more thorough instructions on that. But if you listen to the ad break, JT will very succinctly give you instructions on how to make sure some of that money goes back to the site and keep this machine going.
Yes.
Okay.
Use it.
All right. Before we got sidetracked with my accusation of Jason and his body artwork, do you have anything to say about that that stanza there, Jason?
Well, again, with the way these two seem to not get along at all, I could see why this would be hell for both of them.
Yeah, I mean, it is the hell that is my life. It could very well be the hell that is our life.
And just to everyone out there, don't ever get anyone's name tattooed on you. That's just stupid. Unless it's like your daughter or son. Don't do it. Ever.
You don't want to be the Undertaker hoping you meet another broad named Sarah.
And of all places, on your fucking neck.
Well, I think that's the idea, is like, why would you put that on your, you know? It's different now with tattoos a little bit, because like my daughter the other day was like, well, you could just get a tattoo removed. Like when I was a kid, it was like, if you got a tattoo, you were stuck with that bitch, you know, or you'd have to find someone to cover it up. And her mindset was kind of like, oh, you could just get something taken off. And I'm like, holy hell, what is she going to put on her body? Because she didn't think, you know, I was like, wow.
I don't think she understands how difficult that is, though.
No, of course not. Well, she might have watched it on YouTube, but...
That's like a 10 session situation you're going through.
Yeah.
As we learn on How I Met Your Mother, which we were referencing off air.
Exactly, which I just watched. I just got through that Stella stuff.
All right. It says, now you got your hands on me, and you can make me be what you want me to be. And slash away my will, still you're my only thrill. Everybody break out, it's enough to shout, it's enough, yeah, it's enough. So, he has gone from, if I could get my hands on you, I will make you take my will, to now you got your hands on me and you are pounding me into submission. Like, I think this is a proverbial release of power. I think we can safely say we're out of the actual, this couple may be fist fighting phase. And now it's more of a war of wills.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add to that there, Jason?
If he's so selfish, why is he letting her control it?
Well, you see, this is part of the trouble with being in, especially a toxic relationship, where the balance of power is not equal. You get yourself tied in with this toxic personality, and before you know it, they're controlling you. Like, you may not even want to be in the relationship anymore, and they are still trying to manipulate the situation and get in your head, in your heart, without you even realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's genius.
Well, you know, I'm something of a big deal.
Don't encourage him.
I'm just a guy that pays attention, that's all. I'm nobody special.
Oh, wow.
That's a sick burn.
Kelly, anything you want to add to this? not the piling on Steve part, the breakdown and analysis of the lyrics that we're known for here on Songs of Friends.
No, I'm good.
Well, rock on. Alrighty, so then we get back to she's calling, we're brawling to hell. This is the hell that is my life. I'm laughing, she's crying. It's just the same thing over and over again. So then we move down a little bit, too. I can take you so much more, and you've got so much more in store. So when you say your mom don't like me, I say that your mom's a whore. Guys, don't. That's lowest common denominator shit. Don't go talking about the mothers.
My goodness.
For fuck's sake, are these people in middle school?
Or hit on someone's mother. No, I'm just, I know that's someone that happened to, so. I thought that was weird.
So, Kelly, you want to...
Yes, I'd like to hear the story.
You've opened that door.
It wasn't like my mom, but I don't know a lot of information, to be honest with you. One of my friends was just telling about another girl we know and how like the boyfriend had hit on the mom and so she broke up with him. I think there was some alcohol involved and you know, whatever. So
all right.
When I was growing up, all my guy friends were always like, your mom's so cool. Your mom's so cool. You know, but I would never see anybody. I would feel like somebody would have like hit on my mom. That's kind of weird, but my dad would have taken him down, I think.
All right, two possibilities here. The person whose mother was being hit on, is her first name Stacy? Did Stacy's mom, in fact, have it going on?
Have it going on. Well, her mom does have it going on, this girl, so.
All right. Secondly, if the first name isn't Stacy, is the last name Stifler?
Stop. Ridiculous.
Oh, man.
But that's just shit. I mean, that's a low blow. You're right. You don't say that about someone's mom. But, you know, people are just fighting. They just say shit to get under their skin. That's a bad pick. But, I mean, really, all of a sudden you're saying shit that you're like, you're just bringing up maybe old shit or something that you know is going to irritate them. Just being a jackass, you know?
Well, that's what happens in fights. You always say something that you know is going to just drive at them.
Yeah.
There's a comedian I saw when I was a teenager. I can't remember who it was. This was on TV, so I'm sure someone out there will know. The guy talked about arguing with his girlfriend and how she would just say something that like doesn't even seem big in the moment, but it will plant a seed that will grow into a self-destructive tree inside your brain hours later.
Are we sure?
Yes.
Are we sure that's not Dane Cook?
It may have been. I don't know.
Something that says your father.
Yes, that is. You're just like your father.
Your father. Like your, my father was a great man.
Yeah. You know, hours later, he's like, you know, he's just crying by himself. Like, what does she mean by that?
Exactly. And Steve, I don't think you were a teenager when that happened.
No. Like, I watched a lot of Comic View in my teen years, so like in my mind, it was a black guy. Which Dane Cook is the complete opposite of.
Yeah, exactly. That was like around WrestleMania 24, whatever year that was.
That was the year of our Lord, 2008.
Yes, that one. That'd be the year. I don't think you were a teen then.
Oh, God, no. I was. I would have been 26 around that time.
Me as well.
That shocks me he was that wrong, because Steve has a good memory.
Well, you know, when you consume as much bullshit as I have in my life, you're bound to get some of the timeline mixed up.
Yeah, that's true.
That is a great bit, though.
So then he says, then you call me a selfish pig, and something small turns into something big. Kind of building on that idea, I just, you know, you plant the seed, and the next thing you know, it's a full-blown fucking forest fire. The more you shovel, the more I dig, the more you shovel, and the more I dig. It's like, it is just, this is a perpetual fight. They're going in circles, working themselves into a chute, so to speak. And then next thing you know, it's just swinging bats until there's nothing left standing in the room. Like, if you're going to destroy me, I'm going to destroy you. And we're both going to be miserable, so fuck you. We're together, whether you like it or not.
Haven't you ever known a couple like this?
Oh, yeah. I've eaten with couples like this.
I don't know anyone like that at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
Or lit. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways.
My God.
So.
Oh, wow, Kelly. Kayfabe.
That's right.
Just kidding. No, who were you going to say, Steve? You've eaten with people like this?
Yeah. Did you say? I've seen full-on breakdowns.
Oh, yeah. Well, crazy enough, at the bank, we say shit all the time, and it's so uncomfortable. And I'm like, holy fuck, this dude's talking to you like that, or your wife talks to you like that in front of, like, because then you think, what do they say when they're not around other people? You know what I mean? Because you're like, fuck, that's pretty wild. And I'm sitting here and, you know, I don't even really know you guys and you're talking like that. It's crazy. But I had a good, like, couple friend when I was younger that it was, they were just constant, and they finally are not together, thank God, honestly, but they were just constant, like, one up, who could be the worst, who could be the biggest asshole. It was horrible. It's like you didn't even want to be around them. But individually, they were awesome people, just not together, you know, so.
So I used to know this couple that the guy had cerebral palsy.
Oh,
like he wasn't in a wheelchair. Like he was super cool about it. He had like one affected leg, and he actually got a handicap tattoo, a handicap logo tattooed on that leg. Like he was that kind of dude. He was awesome.
Yeah, what an awesome guy.
But like he and his girlfriend, I loved them both individually. But when they would fight, like she'd call him a crippled bitch.
Oh my god!
Yeah, that happened. I listen, Steve. I too had a friend who had cerebral palsy, who had one bad leg, and that also did happen to him.
Oh my god!
So is this like?
She actually said, "Go out and play in traffic and break your other leg."
Jeez, Al.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So it makes me wonder if there's like, is there a fetish for able-bodied people fucking crippled dudes?
Oh my god, Steve. Jeez.
Like, I got questions.
Listen, wow. I'm sure there is. There's all sorts of fetishes out there. I'm sure that exists. All
right. Twitter user at Crispy Lettuce. If you're listening, we know you are a avid reader of the Reddit threads, finding the worst of the worst. Let us know if this is a thing, man. I'm curious.
Oh, there's a thing for everything. I wouldn't doubt that at all.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
That is horrible. That is horrible. I'm just like, what the fuck?
All right. Wow. Well, that's as good a time as any to pitch to break here. We will be right back after hearing from Chad and JT. We're going to talk about some more songs with friends.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to be Nation wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome back to more Songs with Friends from the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. Now let's talk about some of the other fantastic shows on the feed, as I am ill-prepared and I did not pull my phone out to be able to read this. Alright, in the newest Freak Out Drive-In, Jennifer Smith is joined by Andy Atherton as they live-watch Dawn of the Dead. Russell and Sam were back with the new 90s to Nothing, that's taken into classic Thelma and Louise. Now, I listened to this just yesterday. I found it was fascinating that neither one of these men had actually ever seen Thelma and Louise before this.
Wow.
How do you How do you go so long without having seen that movie? Like, if you watch TV for more than 30 minutes between 1992 and 1995, surely you've seen at least part of this movie.
Well, I was just wondering, how old are they? Maybe they're not, you know.
No, they're our age.
Okay.
Maybe a couple years younger.
Yeah, so no excuse for that. Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm still a little mad at them for how they completely buried Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah, you know, we can maybe have a counter Can't Hardly Wait show.
I'm 100% in.
All right. Also, Andy, welcome in Jennifer and Scott Criscolo, salty Scott Criscolo, on this quarter's Looking Forward, Looking Back, and they dove into the films released in the back end of 2018. Now, Jennifer, who is all over the feeds like a motherfucker this week, also joined Russell.
What else is
new? Russell, also all over the feeds like a motherfucker this week.
Yeah, Russell.
Sellers is fucking getting it in, man. In a new installment of DC Post-Crisis Management as they talked Flashpoint. Finally, Todd, the manager, my man, was joined by Jordan Duncan to look at Netflix's Abducted in Plain Sight on the newest Binge Please.
I have to listen to that.
Have you guys seen it?
Holy fuck, yes.
Not only do I recommend Binge Please, but I recommend Abducted in Plain Sight just for being pure fucking chaos.
Did you watch it, Jason?
Yes, I've seen it.
Oh, my God.
No, go ahead.
No, I couldn't believe it. No.
I love all the memes of the father now everywhere. Twists. He's just like, I don't know.
Twists, turns, abductions, perverts, hand jobs. Like, there's something for everybody in that movie.
He replaced the water guy.
It's like the pop feed. There's something for everybody.
Exactly. And also,
I want to lobby myself to be on a Binge This for the Fyre Festival documentaries.
Oh, fantastic. Oh. And a new contest is being held over on Looking Forward, Looking Back. We will be doing a summer movie wager based on how well you think you can predict how this summer's movie releases will do at the domestic box office. What you need to do is pick the top 10 movies in order of how you think they will finish in domestic box office gross. You will also need to include 3 wildcard picks as well as which movie you think will be the biggest bomb of the summer. Send your picks to LFBL. I fucked that up. LFLBpop@gmail.com. Again, that's LFLBpop@gmail.com by Monday, April 22nd. Any movie that is released on or after April 26th is eligible with the tally ending on Labor Day, September 2nd. So you got some months to get this in. Or you got some months to choose from. The winner of this contest gets to be on a future episode of Laugh-In Theater and pick the comedy movie of their choosing. So you get an hour, possibly longer, with Andy Atherton in a nice, intimate setting. Take advantage.
Andy's funny. That'd be fun.
He is. He's really funny.
Yeah.
And over at the PTB and Wrestling feed in the newest Place to Be podcast on the mothership, JT, Scott, and Peter Winston take a look at the March 1989 Saturday Night's Main Event. Nick and Greg delivered What If number 2 as they examine a world where CM Punk does not lead the WWE in 2014. And we continue our dip into Where the Big Boys Play Vault as Chad and Parv start to look at Starrcade 1987. That is actually the very first Where the Big Boys Play that I ever listened to was that episode. So I'm looking forward to revisiting that. And be sure to check out placetobenation.com. Content is continuing to roll in. It's picking up with more stuff being added every day. And of course, be sure to give a like to the PTBN Greatest Candy Tournament Facebook page so you can participate in daily polls as we determine which candy is the greatest of all time. The polls also go out via Twitter for schmucks like Steve who does not have a Facebook page. We are now into round 2 with a champion being crowned on Easter Sunday. Now last week, Kelly suggested I try Mambas. And I am sad to report that Mambas never made it to the greater Louisville, Kentucky area.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
That's crazy to me.
I was not able to get my hands on and procure a delicious fruity Mamba. Pause.
If it's what I'm thinking it is, they're like wrapped in a white wax paper.
Well, the whole, right? Inside, like, once you get the Mambas, there's 4 little wrapped packages that have, raspberry, orange. It's a lot of candy. Like, you open it up, you're like, wow, I got 4 different, you know. Well, Steve likes candy. He could probably, right, candy? You could probably get
like nibs.
No, well, yeah. That's his bad. That's his fault. So I'll have to send you some.
All right, I have possible Mambas coming via the United States Postal Service. like a soldier overseas waiting on my care package.
I didn't even think of something else for you to try. Do you have any suggestions, Jason? Well, have you tried any of those crazy M&Ms like Brett had?
Yes. I tried just yesterday. I got the jalapeno
peanut ones. Okay.
And they're not terrible. I don't like hot in my sweet.
I don't like hot.
Wait a minute. So have you ever had like peanut brittle with like that's got like red flakes in it or whatever?
No, that sounds like
bacon.
That sounds like an abomination.
Okay, I'm getting you something. We have, you know how Texas is. So we have this candy store, this Cowboy Up, like whatever candy store, and the dude makes like crazy candy with like bacon and spicy stuff. I'm gonna get you something from there.
Hard pass.
Yeah, I did like the other. The coconut one was pretty good.
The Thai coconut?
Yes.
What about the toffee?
I'm not a big toffee guy, but I liked it well enough.
Oh, I hate toffee.
Yeah, this jalapeno one was okay, but it left like a weird after effect. Like I looked like a damn like a dog with peanut butter in his mouth after I ate this. I'm just constantly fucking with my mouth, and I ended up buying a drink just to chug it to get this damn taste out of my mouth.
Wow.
I don't know. You're picky, so I can't trust you on. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think I'd like that. I wouldn't like the jalapeno one.
Yeah, I don't like jalapenos either myself.
I like toffee, so I think I would like that.
I mean, that's the most, like, normal one of the bunch, when you think about it.
So you don't think you'd like peanut brittle with, like, hot pepper flakes in it?
No, peanut brittle by itself is pretty sketchy.
You don't like that.
Then you put fucking...
sketchy.
Then you put spicy flakes in there, too? Like, that's... Nah, man, that's not cool.
Like, you don't like peanut brittle?
Fucking Texas, man. Like, why do you gotta spice everything up? Like, are there fucking Fritos in the peanut butter brittle too?
I don't know, mate. I could probably get you some, like, chocolate covered Fritos, send them your way.
Oh, God, no.
That peanut brittle is good.
It's okay. It's.
No, this one with the spice, because it's, like, hot and spicy. I don't know how to explain it. It's good.
Speaking of hot and spicy, let's move on to our second song. Written by a very hot and spicy man.
Yes.
This is from the 2014 album, Man on the Run. This is... Oh, fuck. Loneliness is a Killer by Bush. For some reason, I did not write the song title down. Jason, why did you bring this one to us?
Again, this is something that kind of hits close to home in many ways.
Jason,
and I just love the song.
It sounds like you're having a hard time, bud.
Let's not worry about that right now.
All right.
Wait, Steve, did you say what year this came out?
2014.
Oh, okay. Huh.
It's a newer Bush song.
Yeah,
yes, they still make music.
Yeah.
I knew that.
All right.
I'm not saying
I knew that. I'm not like Bush hardcore like you, but I mean, I'm a fan.
You know, in music, much like in pornography, Bush has been kind of out of the mainstream for a while.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Steven.
It was right there. I had to take it.
Terrible.
Nobody else was going to say that.
No hair, no flair. What can I say?
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
All right, let's get into these lyrics before I bury myself even further.
Oh, my goodness.
I know what you feel. I know what you love. I see through your eyes. They shine like suicide. That's a hard left turn there, guys.
Yeah.
Jason, lead us off, man.
I'm thinking that he's talking about how he knows, how he understands what the other person is going through. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There's a moment of empathy here. Look, man, I know what's going on. I've been where you are. I can see. I think he sees the pain in someone, and they shine like suicide. It's such a, like, I hate to use the word poetic when talking about suicide, but, like, it's a great way to say it. Like, look, I can see it in your eyes. Your intentions are not good. Like, you are a person in trouble. Kelly, anything you want to add here?
Yeah, wow, this is... No, not really much more than you guys, I guess, had to say. I mean, it is just, I don't know, when you're going through something and then you meet someone that this is like, I'm not trying to be a downer, but it's kind of like my parents are both deceased. So like when I meet someone else that's had that, like, I don't know, it's weird, but I oddly kind of feel like it's something I can connect with them about that not most people can understand, you know? So it's kind of like comforting in a weird way. Cause I'm like, okay, they can understand kind of how this feels. Cause I mean, I don't mean this in a mean way. I didn't really experience loss till I was older. So I didn't, when someone would lose somebody, I really didn't know how to sympathize with them as well. I was like, oh, that sucks. I mean, I didn't really feel it. But then I went through it, I was like, no, I really understand how that feels, you know? So that's all I got.
Well, Kelly, I don't know if you know this, but I'm also like that.
Oh, okay.
Losing both.
Yeah. Yeah. Sucks. But I mean, yes. So that's the thing. And you don't, well, and I think it's an age thing. Like, maybe because I'm not, but I think at my age, I don't really meet that many people like that. You know, it's like you get older, you're like, ah, people, you know, that kind of happens. But I know a lady, like both of her parents had passed by the time she was like 20. And I was like, oh, that's horrible. You know, like I couldn't even imagine that. So I always try to feel like, ah, someone else had it worse, you know.
I experienced both. One, I was like 7. The other one, I was 25.
Oh, my.
I know both ends.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sad. Sorry, Steve. We're really on like the good. You're going to get us back on track.
Yeah. As soon as I saw these song titles, I thought, oh, shit. All right.
Sorry, my man.
All right. I know.
Like, that, hold
sorry,
on,
I'm not even trying parents? To make light, Jason, of our parents not being. It's just sometimes you can't make it. Like, so it's just like, it is what it is, right? So,
well, hey, also, to be fair, I did choose the lighter Zebrahead song. Kelly can attest to that.
Yes.
Right. I know that you hurt 1,000 reasons to implode. With all your suffering, you've been so far from yourself. So someone else. This loneliness is a killer. This loneliness can kill. It's a killer. Yeah, this is kind of riding on the same theme. Like, I know that you hurt. There's 1,000 reasons for you to collapse with all your suffering. And when you're in a period of defeat, so to speak, you know, when things aren't going well, oftentimes you are not yourself. You know, when it seems hopeless that, you know, you do kind of become a different person. And this loneliness is a killer. I think this is very much a, so far at least, an anti-suicide anthem is what we're building toward here, it looks like.
I didn't go that way at all. That's interesting.
Oh, please tell. What you got for us, bud?
I'm thinking it's a person in a relationship that is dealing with someone who's going through a lot, and they're changing who they are, and it's putting a major strain on what's going on between them.
Possibly.
I like Steve saying anti-suicide anthem. That's super, like, wow. Well, no, and I think there is, I don't know. Like, it's hard to find someone that knows how to comfort you. I know maybe this is more a girl thing, but, like, I think everybody needs to be comforted or whatever in a certain way. And I think sometimes when someone's going through something, you don't really know how to comfort them. And you may be actually making it worse. You don't mean to be, but you're just trying to help them because you love them, you know? So I think that, unfortunately, sometimes people are just trying to be helpful, and it makes it worse, but that's not their intention. You know, it's just no one knows how to help someone when the bad shit happens to them, you know, because we all grieve different. So
see if I'm going to get deep here for a second. I think it's about being in a relationship with someone, and they're obviously not who they were before. And when they say this loneliness is a killer, it's like being in a relationship with someone who's going through something, and it's like you're alone. It's not the same. It's not what it was, and it's not what it could be.
Yeah,
and it can affect everything going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, Steve and I probably talked about this a lot on the show. Just like, yeah, you can be with someone and feel very lonely. That's horrible. I feel like that's worse than just being single and being alone, you know? So, but I mean, that's just life, and people change. And I think that's why a lot of us don't work out in the, like, I always am amazed by my grandparents, and I'm like, no way they're the same people, but they're still together, you know? And so there's something that some people can make it work, you know, even though they change. So don't know.
All right.
What you got, Steve?
I got nothing to add to that. See you in the sky. I've seen you on the moon. Now the color of your rainbow is disappeared. We're all see-through. I feel you falling. It's like there's nothing I can do. To me, the beginning of this part, it's like he's seeing the positivity. I see you in the sky. You know, I see great things in you. But now the color of your rainbow is disappeared. Like that's a great line. Like everything bright and vibrant in you is now gone. I see you falling, and there's nothing I can do.
And you know what's funny that you say that's a great line, because I love Bush. I've loved Bush since 1995. And quite frankly, Gavin Rossdale's lyrics are normally nonsense. And that's really why I picked this song, because I don't feel that about this song at all. And most of his recent lyrics are a lot more, make a lot more sense than they did, you know, back in their heyday.
It's because he lost Gwen, and he's like feeling the pain.
This was before that, I think.
I don't really know.
Well, that's another thing I think the song's about.
Yeah. Well, the losing of it.
It's around that time, yeah.
Yeah, but anybody who's been in a long-term relationship, I would think, or live with somebody, the end is coming long before you get there. So it could take years of unhappiness or loneliness or whatever. I mean, most people don't just, tomorrow I'm not happy, I'm moving out. You don't do that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, it's like you try, you do whatever you got to do. And then so it probably could be years of people being unhappy, you know? So I'm sure this is part of him being unhappy at the end.
Does anyone truly think that she upgraded with Blake Shelton? I've had people say that to me.
I think that, I don't know. I used to, when The Voice first came out, right? Like, I really was into it, and I never was into the American Idol or anything like that. But my daughter was little, and she loved it. She was like, oh, we'd play The Voice. Like, she'd like come out and sing a song, see who she, like, if I would turn around. Freaking crazy, right? Like, whatever. So she loved that show. So I'd like watch it with her, and I don't know. He seems cool. And I think he's legit, probably. If Gavin cheated on her or wasn't good to her or whatever, I think he might be, maybe, I don't know. Maybe he's a good man and that's what she likes about him more. I don't really know. I don't think he's that bad.
She saw that sweet F1.
He probably doesn't have any thoughts.
She saw that sweet F-150 with that extended cab.
Oh. But hold on, though. Wasn't he with a singer too? Didn't he like cheat on her?
I don't know this because obviously we don't know, but I had heard that she cheated on him.
Oh, really?
And that's how him and Gwen came to be. It's like, I think they both were cheat. I don't know. That's, you know, but it's cute. Like, I saw this on Instagram a while back and I was like, they were at his ranch, I guess. And it was like his cowboy boots and she has like checkered Vans on and they're like sitting around a fire. And you're like, what the fuck? These two people.
All right.
But it's like, seems to work.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
I don't know why I know this. Oh my God. I'm so ashamed of myself right now.
I'm so sorry I brought this up.
All right.
Hashtag Team Gavin.
All right. Real quick. I can confirm that the breakup happened sometime after this album came out. Just because I work with a lady who's obsessed with these celebrity relationship things.
Oh, Jesus.
And she was giving me a blow-by-blow at the time. This would have been probably 2016-ish.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Since then, Bush has released another album that is called Black and White Rainbows. So apparently this is Gavin's go-to description for sadness, is a dull monochrome rainbow.
Yeah, yeah.
He must have heard a therapist say it when he was a wee lad. And it stuck with him.
Well, no, they were always like paparazzi putting pictures up of him and Gwen, like coming out of therapy. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why are we shaming people for like going to counseling? It was crazy. So.
Because America.
That's horrible.
I like to think that this breakup was centered around not sharing hair products properly. Like he didn't put the lid back on the Pantene Pro-V.
Have you seen those kids? I mean, they all got hair. There's like a lot going on in that house.
Yeah, confirmed. Children have hair.
No, like, their sons have hair. Steve, like...
Yeah, I cannot relate to these
heads.
And Zuma, Nesta. What that's a whole other topic for another podcast altogether.
Are we
celebrity child names?
Are we naming children or are we naming sleep aids?
No, Kingston and Zuma Nesta are legit Gavin and Gwen kids.
I don't believe
you. I forgot
you.
These, the other ones.
That's an
Look
herbal.
It up.
That's an herbal remedy. You're fucking with me right now.
I'm not kidding.
And their little brother Ginkgo Biloba.
Oh my gosh.
I forgot the other one's name, but there's Kingston for sure. That's the oldest kid. And Zuma Nesta is
you know
the...
all of this, and you were upset about me seeing that Instagram picture.
I was upset about you siding with Blake Shelton.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Okay, I gotcha.
All right. So then we just have some reverb here with all your suffering. You've been so far from yourself. You know, we've already hit all that. But then he goes to within you. We can find a way within you. Without you, empty feelings. Without you. I don't want to bring you down, times three. And then you've been so far from yourself, so someone else. And then we just repeat ad nauseum. Within you, we could find a way within you. I like this. This, you know, there's... even though you're kind of a shell of what you were right now, you know, there's still a spark in there that we could find to help bring you back. And without you, you know, I have empty feelings without you. If you were to go, then I'm fucked. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not necessarily something you want to, you know, you don't want to talk someone out of killing themselves with a guilt trip. Like, oh, come on, man. Like, I'll be so fucked up if you're gone. You know, that's even though that's the way you feel, you know, that's kind of a selfish way to put it out there. But I definitely do like the finding a way within you. You know, you have this in you to not give up. Just, you know, keep at it, man. You'll get there. For a mental health nurse, I absolutely suck out of talking people out of suicide, for the record.
Well, no, I feel like because you want to say to somebody like, hey, I need you, which you think would make them feel good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, I want you here. I need you. But I don't, you know, I don't know how people really, I mean, I have never felt this way in my life, so I don't really understand it. But I know people that have, and they say stuff to me. And I think your instinct, maybe I'm bad, but I think I have said that to people before. Like, hey, I need you here. I want you here. Like, I care about you, but that's not even what it's about. You know, it's like, this is awesome. A better way to put it.
If we're talking about, like, deep-seated depression, I don't know if that something like that's going to really help someone.
Yeah, yeah.
But if someone's, like, having, like, maybe, like, an anxiety or panic attack, I think that would help someone. It really just depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But again, yeah. I'm looking at the song at a different perspective as you are, Steve.
You know, if there's anything I'm known for, it's having different perspectives on everything.
Is that Chili Pepper song still ruined for you, Kelly?
Oh my God.
That's me looking at it from the correct perspective.
I legitimately was like, I could see this like at a wedding, like not like your wedding song. Like I was read that and I was like, I get it. Like I feel this. Like people are like, I walk down the aisle to this. And then Steve's over here like, you know.
Oh, it's about banging.
Yeah. Yeah. it didn't even cross. He shocked me. Didn't even cross my mind. But that's why the show is good.
No, I mean, I could definitely see what he's saying. With his perspective of the song, I'm just looking at it at a different way.
So, what do you think about this?
What, me?
Yeah, this
I already told you. I think it's about a relationship that is kind of dying, and being in it. Being in one, you don't always feel like you're together.
Yeah,
is how I look at it. Like, this person's going through something, and it's changing them. And it makes you feel like you're alone.
And yeah. On that note, that wraps up the lyrics here with, you've been so far from yourself, so someone else. This loneliness is a killer. This loneliness can kill. It's a killer. It's a killer. This loneliness can kill. It's a killer, killer, killer.
It's really... See, when you say the lyrics like that, it makes it sound bad, but if you listen to the song, it sounds really good.
It's loneliness is a killer.
Well, being alone isn't always bad. I think we're all kind of bred to feel like, ah, you know, but you got to embrace some. When you're with someone, it is. But if you just live alone, like I do, I mean, I'm in my house a lot alone. I'm used to it, and I don't think it's that bad. But you can make it. I know a lot of people who don't like to be home alone, or they don't like to be by themselves. And that's fine, to each their own. But you got to get comfortable with it. So.
All right, guys. Well, that will wrap up the song selection for this episode of Songs with Friends. This is the part where we do our picks for next time. The last time Kelly and I were together on here, I went first. So, Kelly, what song will you be bringing to us first next show?
Okay, we're going to do a song by Lil Wayne called How to Love.
Wait a minute. Like Cash Money Millionaires Lil Wayne?
Little yeah. Wayne. How to Love, it's called.
How many times does he say yeah in the song?
It's not that kind of song, so.
You say How to Love?
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, I'm writing that down because I will.
I wonder if you've ever even heard it. I don't think so. So.
All right, we're in complete bizarro world next time.
What, are you picking Stain now?
No, you picked Lil Wayne, and I'm going with Dina Carter, Strawberry Wine.
Oh my god. This is like my brother loves this song.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh my god. I wouldn't say, I don't want to say love. Never mind, that's a whole other story, but okay.
All right, Jason, wow. Anything you want to plug, man?
Well, the next episode of PTBN E-Ticket Attraction will be coming out in late May after both me and Neil visit Epcot to experience the Flower and Garden Festival. I'm also, I haven't mentioned this in a while, I'm also the stat boy of the Saved by the Bell cast, if that ever comes back. Looking at you, Jordan and Aaron. And besides that, man, that's really all I got.
All right, Kelly, anything you want to plug?
You could just follow me on Twitter, KelGene17.
All right, guys, you can follow me at Songs with Steve on Twitter. I don't do Instagram or Facebook or fucking tiddlywinks or any of that shit.
And you were on two shows recently. Did you talk about that?
I plugged those last
time.
But, okay, you know, now that they're both actually released, I'm really happy with the way that my episode of Jeff versus the World turned out. That was episode 2, where Jeff Jones and I, we reviewed our top 5 personal all-time classic albums. We had some interesting back and forth there, where I revealed on the air that I've never listened to Pink Floyd, despite having a music podcast. Also, wow. I appeared on Eliminated, a Royal Rumble podcast, where I talked about the 1998 Royal Rumble. That was a hoot. Highlights of that include Terry Funk cosplaying as Dolph Ziggler in an unexpected turn.
I think I know what you're talking about, too.
Dude, he spit the whole fucking match upside down. At one point, he's like, I never noticed. I guess I never watched it critically. And I never noticed just how much he was selling it. He was the star of that match. At one point, he's upside down, literally by his ankles, his legs outstretched, reaching out to help that isn't there. It's a spectacular performance by a man that was in his mid-50s in coveralls, fucking a flannel shirt, and pantyhose on his face.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I stopped watching wrestling for a few years in the mid-90s, and the first VHS tape I purchased was Royal Rumble 98. So I'm very familiar with that show. Like, very familiar with that show.
Oh, it is a winner. Also, you can email us at ptbnsongsoffriends@gmail.com. Again, that email address is dry as shit.
People don't use email, really, except at work.
And, of course, if you're not following us on Twitter, you're missing out, because I've been putting some content on the Twitter lately. PTBN_songs. We recently had the November to Remember promo video, and I also recently did a Hamilton parody with Vince McMahon as the King of England singing to Kofi Kingston.
Yes, you did. You sure did.
Also,
You're very brave. I would never.
Also, we had some hot meme action with the Charlotte and Becky Jones, or Charlotte and Ronda Rousey fiasco from Raw this last week. Shout out to Lapsed Fan and Glenn Goza for the inspiration on that.
Oh, man.
All right, guys. For Jason and Kelly, I am Steve. We will try to do better next time. Thanks for listening.